Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
Father, you are completely, utterly welcome. Amen. There we go. Good stuff. I can't remember who. I think I heard a Mike Bickle talk the other day, and he was talking about 90-second prayers and saying, I train my guys to do 90-second prayers. You know, Jesus doesn't need 14 and a half minutes of you kind of calling for heaven to rain down. Sometimes that's good, but sometimes he can move through a 90-second prayer or a 10-second prayer. Amen? Cool. Well, tonight we are talking about... We're carrying on our series that we've been doing, the I Am Statements of God, and we have gone through a whole bunch of them already, and today we're looking at I Am Your Provider. Thank you. Not me personally, Rob. I'm not your provider, but God says, I am your provider, and that is an amenable statement, if I heard of one. Abby Alsop spoke a really good message this morning, and so I just want to endorse that message. Go and check it out. Go and listen to it. Actually, before I start, I had a quick thing. There's one guy in the room. Now, come on, brain work. Timothée? Am I saying that right? Where are you? From France. Are you here somewhere? Wave a hand. Oh, he just hugged him goodbye. Oh, I was going to honor him. This guy came... Sorry, this is just like a little aside. This guy... Met him today, and this is his fourth service today. He's from France, and he went to he's doing something in Brighton, and he came up. He's been to Kensington Temple, HGB, Hillsongs, and us all in one day. And I just kind of felt like we just needed to throw some sort of heavenly love bomb at him. But we bless you wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. Also, I want to bless you guys in the middle from London School of Theology. Just wave your hand if that's you. Come on, right in the middle. You know, we love it when we have guys from a school of ministry or from a theological college or the YWAM guys come down. We really love it because it just means we get to honor you for what you're doing, what you're giving. And I know sort of maybe I'm being slightly embarrassing here, whatever. I want to bless you guys. And can we just turn our hands towards these guys, because they are in a strategic location in Hertfordshire. They are in a strategic location in this country. That school of theology is a light in the south of England. And we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would carry the fire of the Father's love in that place, that revival would happen on that campus, on that ground, and that everybody who comes from that place would take the revival fire of God's love to every city, every nation that they come from, and that the world would be transformed because people come out of that school doing those courses. And so we bless you guys in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Father, even if they're feeling awkward that an entire church is looking at them, would you pour out your love into them? Would they be revival carriers in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Amen. 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 Come on. Awesome. Well, hey, look, I want to talk about God being a provider tonight. And as some of you know, I'm getting married soon, and I'm really excited about that. And okay, thank you. I'm feeling awkward now that people are mentioning that, because I'm somebody somewhere who's a regular member of our family must be asking in their head, can you just go ahead and get married? Can you stop mentioning that you're going to? And I'm coming, we're in year two of engagement now on an international relationship. And so I'm trying my best, all right? It's coming close, it's coming nearer. But we're talking about provision. And as Dan said, we don't like the idea of anyone standing up on this stage without testimony of their life, of the thing that they're preaching, okay? Because there's power in testimony. When you've got a breakthrough in your life, you have a certain higher level of degree of authority to see that thing happen in someone else's life. And so one of the reasons, we've used this example a lot, one of the reasons why Chloe is so, our senior leader Chloe, is so, has such a high success rate, you could even say, or a high anointing when it comes to praying for the sick, is because she had five separate illnesses and diseases healed in her body in one prayer. Okay, she was meant to be in a wheelchair by the time she was 30. 2 weeks ago, she came back from a skiing holiday. Okay, you don't do that unless the miraculous power of God is in your body. Okay? And so that means when she prays for the sick, she has a higher authority. She's got the testimony. I can see that Jesus can do this because he did it for me. And so when we preach up here, we really want, okay, can you actually point to something in your life where God has done a breakthrough? And you know what? If you told me 7 years ago I'd be preaching on provision, I would have just like, oh, give me anything but that, because that's the one thing that I freak out about. That's the one thing I put my brave face on about. And you know what? Glory to God, I can stand here today and say I had to whittle down and fight down the amount of testimonies that I could share tonight because of provision. Okay, and I'm just, isn't that so good that you're like, you're having to go through the list and go, haven't got time for that one. So I just want to give you glory, God, because you really are a provider. However, I am planning a wedding, and it turns out they're really expensive. And so I stand before you today, I want to kind of give my credentials as someone who has had the breakthrough, but also gets that just because you had a breakthrough then doesn't mean that you don't sometimes have a wobble here. I get that you can have a testimony and a breakthrough and yet still have a remnant of that concern, that fear, that anxiety. And you know, like Flicky said this to me years ago when we did inner healing ministry for the first time, it's a layer off the onion. It's another layer off the onion. You get a breakthrough, it's like a layer off the onion. It doesn't mean that the whole onion is sort of dealt with, chopped up, diced, you don't have that issue anymore. It's a layer off the onion. And what I mean by that is you have to go deeper with healing sometimes. And you have to go deeper with breakthrough. And the first cold that I saw disappear when I prayed for healing was a massive breakthrough. But I needed to revisit my faith when I prayed for a blind eye. And when that happened, it was incredible. But then I needed to revisit my faith and go a level deeper when I had a deaf and mute child in front of me in Kenya. And we have to go deeper levels sometimes. So I want to just give permission for you right now to be able to celebrate where you've had breakthrough, but also be real about where you are. Is that okay? And the way, and I feel slightly weird about introducing this particular clip because it's from a TV show's musical episode, but I felt 2 weeks ago that God say that I should show this clip because the moment that I said we were talking about provision, some people in the room's heart had a wobble because you know right now you've got a need and you don't know where the answer is coming from. And that may be you have a need for a healing. That maybe you have a need for finances. It may be you have a need for something to change in your life, and it hasn't, and you don't know what tomorrow is meant to look like without this answer. And I just felt before we even got into any teaching, I actually wanted to just do some ministry real quick. And this is, I believe, this is a musical episode of a TV show. Let's just get over that one. But what I want you to think of is these words that are being sung are the Father's words and the courts of heaven singing to you where you are. If that's you, I want you to receive this as ministry before we go any further. Shirley.
What's going to happen? What does the future hold? So many things that I put off, assuming I'd have time. What's going to happen? When will I be alive tomorrow? What's going to happen to me?
You're going to be okay.
That's what's going to happen. Everything's okay. We're right here beside you. We won't let you slip away. Plan for tomorrow, 'cause we swear in you, you're going to be okay.
I'm going to be okay.
That's what's going to happen.
Everything's okay.
Everything's okay. We will never leave you. Right here we will stay.
And for two. going to be okay. We hope.
Okay, can someone turn the lights back on? I love, it's really sweet, but I also really love, I kind of had this picture of when I saw it, it's like Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit and the angels, and there's just one little really keen angel who just doesn't get that the song ends. It's like, we hope, shh, we're done. It's funny, but I really feel that the Father wants to say, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That's what's going to happen. And so just right now, just if, I just want to do a quick bit of ministry before we go any further. If you know that right now there's a provision issue in your life, there is a need for provision that you need a breakthrough on, and those words, you're going to be okay, that's what's going to happen, kind of just ministered, kind of just did something, then do you want to just stand and we're just going to pray for everybody who's in that place right now. Okay, it's a lot of people. Right, if you're around somebody who's just stood up, do you want to just put a finger, an anointed Holy Spirit finger, on their shoulder, on their hand? And would you like to pray? Father, would you speak to every single heart that's in this room right now? And you can pray your prayers or you can agree with mine. Father, would you speak to every single heart in this room right now with the words, you're going to be okay. That's what's going to happen. I'm right here beside you. Right here I will stay. Plan for tomorrow because you're going to be okay. In the name of Jesus, be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is who he says he is. Be still and know that he is the God who has seen to the need. He has gone ahead, seen to your need, and you're going to be okay. And maybe you want to just put a hand on your heart right now and just declare with the power of the tongue that can speak life or death, choose to speak life right now, I'm going to be okay because Jesus says so. Amen. Amen. Do you want to grab a seat? Thanks, guys. Well, I want to just jump into some things about provision. And you know what? This is one of those topics that you really can just talk. I heard Abby's talk today, and I thought I wrote down about 15 different things that she said, and I'll steal all of them for my talk. And I forgot the book at home, so I couldn't write any of the things in. It's the main reason why I haven't stolen her talk. But you know what? This is one of those topics that just has so many different avenues you could go down. And so I want to just caveat that I'm going down one particular avenue. Provision and what God is capable of is actually a bigger subject than a 40-minute, 30-minute talk can actually encompass, turns out. And so I want to just look at four factual truths that I believe God gave me tonight to share about provision. And so I'm going to throw some scriptures at you. I encourage you to write these down because I believe from my experience in approaching my Heavenly Father with a request, I believe that these four facts are true. Okay? And I'm going to race through them a little bit because what I want to do once I've shared those four talks is I want to just throw in a quick personal testimony to try and put some context behind it. And then we're going to do ministry. And at the moment, unless God says differently, at the moment I'm feeling fire tunnels. And so we'll be going into those. And if you haven't done a fire tunnel before, you're about to see a thing. And it will be fun. And there will be bodies on the floor potentially. But that's okay because there were bodies on the floor in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came. Come on. Okay, so provision. Chris is already ready. Hold on. We're getting there. Provision. My first point, I want you to write this down. This is a real simple one. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask for things. He's very explicit in Scripture that he actually would like us not to keep the need to ourselves. He'd actually like us to ask. And this is one of those things I've noticed culturally that different nationalities have a different approach. The British approach, of which the white English approach that I have, and I'm going to admit, I am very white. I'm, you know, Gloria and I, I'm sure we were chatting about this at some point. I'm really white. Like, I'm very English. I'm very traditional British. And I don't like asking for things if I think I'm going to inconvenience someone. Like, is anyone else like that? And man, that's just not a great kingdom principle mindset to have. Because God is like, ask me, please ask me. You know, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, you don't need to worry about the things that you need, the roof over your head, the meal on your plate. Your Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. He knows you need a warm bed and a meal on your plate. He knows your base needs. You don't even need to ask for those. But Matthew 7, the chapter that follows, says you need to ask and seek and knock for the things that you want. And the tense that Jesus uses is continuous. You need to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. You need to, the word we would use is you need to contend for the things that you want. And he's really explicit about that. Ask me for what you want. I would actually like to know what you want. Not just what you think you need, but actually what you want. And we can take it a step further because in Ephesians 3, it says, to him who is immeasurably able to do more than we could think or imagine. It talks about the God who is able to do more than we can imagine. I can imagine quite a lot. I've got a pretty good imagination. And yet, Jesus is saying, through Scripture, God can do more than you could think of or imagine. So we got this three stage already at the start. I know what you need. I'd like you to ask for what you want. And I need you to know that I can do immeasurably more than either of those two things. God wants us to ask. It sounds so simple, but if you're anything like me, when I walked into this church 7 years ago, the idea of asking for something that I wanted was really alien to me. And Paul Manwaring stood up in a ELA, the Bethel meeting, and he said, you know, we've all got one of these. We've all got a phone. And spiritually, we've all got one of these, but we're so used to using it just to dial 999. And we've got all of these apps and all of these things that we can do to get whatever it is that we want. We've got all of these opportunities before God to ask for what we need. And yet all we do is the emergency call, the quick help. And the Father wants us to know. Point number one, he wants us to ask. In Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and supplications, let your request known to be God. To be God? Whoa. Let your request known to God. I am not requesting to be God. I do not want that job. I used to have this prayer that somebody gave me that was, it was a statement over myself. I am not the general manager of the universe. That was something at a time in my life when I needed to hear that. God is God and I'm not. Amen. Okay, the next point, number one, he wants us to ask. Number two, he wants us to ask for anything. Kind of sounds like the same point, but he wants us to ask for anything. He wants to have the truth of our heart, not what we feel we should be asking for. He wants to actually know if you want a holiday and you haven't had one for a while. He actually wants to know if when you swing by the shops on the way home, it would be great if those cookies were discounted. Amen. He wants to know what you need for your family or for your office tomorrow morning or for that bill that's coming in late in the week. He wants to know our hearts. And if we do the first one, we ask him, we can very easily slip into a kind of religious way of asking for things. We ask for things that we feel like we should be asking. Does that make sense? We kind of ask for, what do other Christians ask for? Revival. Yes, revival in my town and in my streets, and the kingdom to come. More of that, more of you, God. Your rain, send your rain and your fire. That's what they are asking for. That's what I'm going to ask for. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, even in our charismatic circles, we can still slip into our own religious way of doing things. And so he wants us to ask, but he wants us to ask for what we really have on our hearts. Some scriptures for this. And this is for God wanting to ask about anything. Mark 11, verse 24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it, and it will be yours. John 14, whatever you ask for in my name, I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, I mean, we could do a whole preach on that. If you ask for anything, I will do it. That may challenge some people's theology. Luke 11, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? In Psalm 37, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, not the religion of your head, but the desires of your heart. It means we have to be open, and for the Brits among us, we have to get rid of some of that cultural nonsense that we have that's afraid the please sir, can I have some more mindset. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. Okay, number one, he wants us to ask. Number two, he wants us to ask for anything. Number three, he always provides. He always provides. I have this saying that I repeat quite a lot, which is, I don't have a testimony of him not coming through. And I had this little sort of cheeky desire to ask Mary to call this preach on the podcast, I don't have a testimony. Just to see if people clicked on it, to see what heresy it is that I'm speaking about. I don't have a testimony of him not coming through. He always provides. And you look through scripture, he is a providing God. Okay. Genesis 22, this is the one that most people go to when Abraham was asked by God to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. At the moment that the dagger is glinting in the sunlight, the provision comes. You know, and I'd actually originally thought I was going to talk about this story for the whole of this preach. And I've just mentioned one little bit. In Abraham's time, it was custom for child sacrifices to happen for the religions or the spiritual expression of the day. It was not unheard of for a god, small g, to ask for a human sacrifice or for someone to believe that they needed to give a human sacrifice. I believe one of the things that God was doing, one of the many in that, was saying, I will never ask you to do what those false idols ask. I will never ask you to do that. And I love your obedience, Abraham. That fills my heart with so much warmth. But you need to know, I will never ask you to sacrifice your child. I am a different God to all of those. I am not an idol. I'm not small God with a small g. I'm a big God, and I've got a heart full of love. I am your provider. That's what Abraham named that hill. I am your provider, because the ram appeared in the thicket and Isaac got off lightly. Abby was saying this morning, I wonder what the conversation on the way down the hill was between Abraham and Isaac. Like, awkward. What do you say? Anyway, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words in you, then whatever you wish will be done for you. I will provide. Matthew 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and for the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. We talked about that earlier. If you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, I want to know. The next verse is, if you keep seeking, you're going to find me. If you keep knocking, the door is going to open. If you keep asking, you're going to get an answer. God provides. Now, I recognize that I'm kind of telling you things that if you're been a Christian for more than 5 minutes, you probably already know a lot of this. And you can sort of nod and smile if you like. I don't think I've delivered any theological revelation bombs at the moment. But isn't it often the way that we know, but then in the moment when the brown envelope comes through your door, and I'm going to confess here, I live in an upstairs flat, the downstairs flat, occasionally, sometimes, quite regularly, gets our post but doesn't deliver it. And so every couple of months, we get a big wodge come through the door that's been accumulated. I had three HMRC brown envelopes in that stack this week. And I was like, oh, Jesus, the week I'm speaking about provisioning. Okay. I'm a son. Phew. Okay. I'm a son. Phew. And I'm going through this. I know the theology. I've got a theology degree. I work for a church. I know that he provides. Yet my heart can still get scared in those moments. Do you know what? He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for anything. He always provides. Always. He is not in the habit of leaving his children out on the cold. He's not in the habit of abandoning. That is not who he is. And if that is the God you have experienced, then I need to tell you, you have not experienced the true God. He loves his kids. He loves you. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, he loves you. He really does. So he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for anything. He always provides. Now, those three are all quite nice. The fourth one is the one that is going to challenge our hearts a little bit. And the fourth one is, we don't get to decide the form the provision takes. Ah, the Christian, We don't get to decide. And that's the bit that can trip us up, can't it? We don't get to decide how it comes. And it sometimes seems to fly in the face of the first three points. Because I'm asking you for the thing I want, and I've been very specific, and I'm opening up my heart to give you the request that's from my heart, and what you've given me is this thing. I would like a Ferrari. I think I need one, and what you've given me is a tuk-tuk, which I saw Sarah and Sam in one. They sent a picture of them in Kenya. If you don't know what they are, they're like a three-wheeled monstrosity. And I think I put on their Facebook post, that is the loudest and worst form of transport ever created. But you know what? Like, sometimes I may be spiritually asking for a Ferrari, and I may get delivered a tuk-tuk. It's not what I asked for, God. I was quite specific about that. But here's the thing, we don't know better than him. The end. Stu said this once in a prayer meeting we had. He just has these one-liners he throws out, and he just said, he knows things you don't. And that was the end of his little sermonette there. He knows things you don't. God knows things you don't about your need and what's coming up. Deal with it. Sounds harsh, but he knows things you don't. You know, he called Elijah in, where were we? 1 Kings 17. He called Elijah to go and do his work, to prophesy to a nation. His provision to Elijah was ravens bringing meat to him at a brook, at a river. Hands up if you're in Robbie Dawkins' conference a few months back. What was it Robbie Dawkins referred to this raven meat as? Roadkill. He gets brought roadkill. We don't know where the meat comes from. I'm thinking like little chunks that you get, like sliced, diced kind of, I don't know, chicken or whatever at the, you know, Tesco's. I don't think it was little cubes of lamb cut or anything. He got brought. That was his provision. You know, the Israelites in the desert, they're complaining in Exodus, I think Exodus 16. They're complaining about the pots of meat they used to eat while they were slaves. They have a desire to have increased provision, and God brings the provision, and it's manna and it's quail. Little flakes of seed-like things on the ground is what they get. And it sustains them for years. And it runs out the moment they step into the promised land. God knows what he's doing. But we have to get on board with that. Because the first three points, he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask big. And he's going to provide. We can sort of do those on trust. I trust that that's true. The provision coming in the way that God chooses, I kind of need to take that one on faith, which is different to the trust. It's in the same family, but I have to have some faith activated there, because if God puts something to my lap that I didn't think was the answer to what I was asking for, I need to engage some faith. God, is this your answer? If it's not, give me a big fat no, write it in the sky, but Lord, is this your answer? And what we often do is we can shut down the work of the kingdom in our lives because it doesn't look like what we asked for. It doesn't look like what we were expecting, or we will not take a step forward until it looks exactly as our letter to Santa God said it should. You know? And from a pastor's point of view, I find it really hard to spend time with people who will not take a step forward because they don't believe God has done everything that they prescribed him to do. And I see people's callings stalling because they believe God is still yet to act. And that's hard because it means that we have to ask questions about ourselves. It's got very quiet in here. Yeah. It means we have to ask questions about ourselves. You know, I had a word from God in 2010, after coming back from the Kenya trip. If you want your life messed up, go to the Kenya trip. Because I was quite a happy primary school teacher in a nice, outstanding school in a nice, leafy part of Hertfordshire. I was doing pretty well. And God gave me this word. He said, You don't have to be here next year if you don't want to. You could go and do ministry. I know that's on your heart. You could. I'm not telling you have to, Alistair, but you could. Now, I sat on that word for about 8 months before I actioned it, because I had this thing in my head that assumed, because I'd heard people on stages with microphones say, God called me into ministry. And so I assumed if I was ever going to leave my career, it was because God would speak through a burning bush or do a thing that was really noticeable, and I would be able to one day say, God called me into ministry. He didn't. He said, you can be a teacher next year if you like, or you can go work for the church. What would you like to do? That really messed me up, because I do it like you did for the other people. Because everyone I know who's been in ministry said they got called in. They got a really specific call. And was that it? I don't understand. So I sat on this word for 8 months. I could have been working for this church and stepping into ministry 8 months sooner than I did. And it was because I had this thing caught up in me that was afraid of stepping forward, because what I had received from God wasn't what I had expected to receive. It wasn't what I was looking for. You know, have you heard the story about the man who is on the radio that there's a flood coming? Do people know this story? There's a flood coming, and he hears the radio report and he says, "Oh, do you know what? I'm not going to do anything about that because God loves me. I'm a good Christian. He'll save me." And then I'm trying to remember the story now. Then there's the rains start coming down, and somebody knocks on the door and says, look, it's coming down. It's going to be really bad. Jump in the car. I'll get you to safety. We'll get away from the storm. No. I'm a Christian. God loves me. I'm going to be okay. Then the rains start rising, and they start going up his window. So he climbs on the roof, and a boat comes by now at roof level and says, jump on the boat. We're here to help you. No, I'm a Christian. God loves me. He's going to release an answer. He's going to save me. The waters rise. The man drowns. And then he's approaching the pearly gates. And St. Peter is on the door. And he says, what the heck are you doing here? He's like, well, you, you, You said you were going to save me. I'm a Christian. You love me. I sent you a weather report. I sent you a guy knocking at the door. I sent you a boat. What are you doing here? Sometimes we can have such a specific way we think that our prayer is going to be answered and we miss it. And fortunately, God is, this is one of the things I love. If you ask me what one of my favorite attributes of God, it's redemption. And the Reader's Digest version, the simple visual version I can think of is, it's like that sat-nav in your car that when you make the wrong turn, it takes a moment, it recalculates the route, and it gets you back on the road you're meant to be on. And isn't God just amazing that he just constantly is able to recalculate our route despite how many times we go right or we go left? Isn't God incredible that he does that? Because, boy, I have had a lot of recalculations go on in my life. But he's faithful. And so I want to just kind of come into land now, and we're gonna go into some ministry. I had a whole story that was going to be the centerpiece of this preach. I don't think I should do it. I don't know whether I should. Okay, let me just carry on. Let me just bring some testimony just to land this. As part of the stepping into ministry that I had in 2010, one of the things that I had in my life that I was feeling very nervous about was a flat that I own in sort of North Hertfordshire. I had grandparents who died when I was, my last grandparent died when I was 23. I was just finishing training, being a teacher. And suddenly I had this inheritance come in that I wasn't expecting. And as a 23-year-old guy, I wasn't really thinking too hard about the future and about, you know, settling down or anything like that. And so suddenly I had this kind of wadge of money that, I mean, I'd just been a student. I'd been living off, like, my evening meal was a plate of beans, you know, and water. That was as much as I could afford. Any other students nodding their head, or is that just me? Did I go too far? I don't know. But I didn't have money, and suddenly this wadge of money came in, and all the best advice said, property. Okay, so I bought a flat. And I remember my first day moving in, I remember saying to my friend, I'm 10% excited, 90% terrified. And it was because I didn't realize at the time, but I had all of these fears about provision and about the way it should have been. I had somewhere in my head the idea that when you buy your first place as a guy, you're carrying your bride over the threshold. You don't do it on your own. You buy your house as a married couple. And so here I was sitting in my flat, that's amazing provision, feeling like resentful of it. And I didn't know why, but it was because I had this expectation that it had to look a certain way. I also had this fear that what if I can't afford it? What will my parents say? What if? Because I don't know if God will provide. I know it says he's a provider, but I get scared. And I had this as this journey. So when it came around 2010 and God was saying, you could go into ministry, one of the things I had to think about was, what am I going to do with this flat? I'm being very real. Are you okay? Me kind of doing honest life stuff. Okay. Thanks to the 7 people who are with me on that one. my layer of the onions had started coming off before God called me out of my teaching career. I had trusted him with small things. I trusted him with a bill here or a mission trip there. And layers were coming off. To go from full-time paid, everything done for me, to working for this church for free was a 100% pay cut overnight, which was noticeable in my life. It was noticeable in the conversations I had with my parents and my friends, because I wasn't going to work for St. Luke's Church or Christ Church on the Common. I was working for Catch the Fire, which doesn't sound like a church. It sounds like something else. And my parents were concerned. And I honor them because they were showing me love with that concern. But suddenly, we went from layer at a time down to the core of the onion. Because I suddenly realized, do I trust God enough? Do I trust him enough to cover my need when I'm going from quite well, thank you very much, to nothing. Faith, living by faith. And I want to say, if you are new to the church, there are people in the room I'm looking at who have done this in this room and who have the same testimony as me. And there are countless people in this room. Hallelujah, God is good. Dan, who I think was my fire group leader at the time, came over with some guys on a Wednesday night to my flat to help me pack up and prayed with me. And I was really excited, but I was also feeling the fears that I felt 5 years previous when I'd moved in, because I hadn't really dealt with them. Still feeling those fears about provision. And we had a guy in our group called Jordan, who's just a big bear of a man who could just hug you and you just like nestle. And he's just this amazing guy. And he put his hand on my back. And I've heard people prophesy when God's moving their lips before. I really think that what he did in that moment was the Father speaking through him. Because what he did was he put his hand on my back. And I think Dan or somebody had just prayed, I get that, you know, you're feeling a little bit scared and God's going to come through. God's going to come through. Don't worry, don't worry. You know, he's a good God and all of the stuff that I agree with. And then Jordan put his hand on my hat, on my back, and just said, Alistair, this flat, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It is a blessing. It's a blessing. It is a blessing. It's 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 a blessing. Are you getting tired of me saying it's a blessing? Because I was starting to get tired. Yeah, I get it. It's a blessing. 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 And I was like, okay, you can land it now. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It must have gone on. I must have said that phrase about 60 times over me. And I genuinely think, God, that was you. Just you pushed him until he had no saliva left in his mouth to be able to say the words, because I needed it to be rammed into my head that it's a blessing, that he's my provider and I don't need to be afraid. And you know what? That flat, the rent from that flat has enabled me to do this, to be able to do ministry. The tenants I've got right now, I'm going over. The tenants I've got right now, they replaced my shower the other day, didn't tell me. Then I said, oh, you've actually upgraded it. How much do I owe you? Oh, no, it's fine. Really? But won't you want to take it with you when you go? No, you can have it. What? They've recarpeted my bedroom. They've got rid of the mold. They've repainted the whole thing. What? These are my tenants. I should be doing that. I hope that I haven't broken any rules or anything. Do you know what? It's a blessing. It was not, I needed money. That's what I needed. That's what I felt I needed. What I actually needed was fear to go and trust to rise. It's a blessing. Right now, just close your eyes. I want, Father, would you just release right now wisdom and revelation to people in this room about what you've already put in their life, what you have already done in their life that currently exists, and it is a blessing. It is not the thing that is a burden over their lives. That relationship, that financial situation, that job, Lord, that has masqueraded as something that is a burden around their necks, God, I pray you'd release some revelation on how that thing is a blessing. This doesn't count for everything. If you've got sickness, that's not from God. He's not trying to bless you by giving you cancer. He doesn't do that. But there are things in your life right now that are a blessing, that are actually there to release and fruit more than you're experiencing right now. And I just want to encourage you, just before we go into ministry, to just thank him for those things right now. Speak them out. God, I thank you for that relationship. God, I thank you for my parents. God, I thank you for that property I own. I thank you, God, for my car. I thank you for, oh, whatever it is, God. Father, I thank you for that flat. That's really helped me. And right now, just also just to deal with comparison, get rid of that. Get rid of comparison. You know, I had it a few weeks ago. Somebody said that they they owned a place and it was worth more than I know my place was. And I was like, oh, inside. I'm like, what am I doing? God has blessed me with that. Comparison, there's always going to be someone who's got more than you. And there's always going to be someone who you've got more than. So you can either feel deflated or have pride or thank God for the thing that you've got that's just for you. And so, Father, right now in this room, I pray you'd bring excitement back where maybe burden or worry has been. I said a few weeks ago, what you worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. Your greatest area of anxiety can be the least area of trust you have that God is who he says he is. And so I want to encourage you to lift that worry up, to give it to God and replace it with faith that he is, in fact, who he says he is. Amen. Why don't we stand? Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and just put a hand on their shoulder and just encourage them as a brother or a sister in Christ that their heavenly dad, as Jesus said, I'm going back to my God and your God, my Father and your Father, that their heavenly dad has their need covered. Just speak that over them, just to affirm that. My Father and your Father has you covered. And even if the provision doesn't come the way you think it's going to come, it's going to come. He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask big. He's going to provide, but it may look different to how you're expecting it. Father, would you raise faith in the room right now for that? Kathleen, fire on you. Come on. Okay, church, what we're going to do is we are going to do some fire tunnels. Now, Dan is going to explain in a second. I'm doing the thing Stu always used to do, which is just say someone's going to do something and they've not been asked. Dan's going to explain what that looks like and how we do it, but fire tunnels came out of Toronto in 94. It was their quickest way of praying for everybody. You make a tunnel of the prayer team, you walk through the tunnel with your hands open, you receive. And then if you want to go around again, you go around again. That's it in a nutshell. What I felt God saying, the purpose of doing this was he wanted to infuse faith that he is a provider and he wants to disperse fear. So if you have had fear over your life when it comes to provision, then I want you to go through like you are going through a furnace and God is burning that stuff off you. And if you have a need for your faith to rise, which we all do, myself included, then I want you to feel as you go through the Holy Spirit stamping you with an infusion of faith for your life, for your circumstances, that he cares as much about you as he cared about Billy Graham, as he cares about Heidi Baker, as he cares about the most blessed person that you know in your life. He cares as much for you and desires to see you rise up in faith as much as anyone else in this room. So Dan's going to explain, but I'm just going to ask that if you are ministry team, if you are a fire group leader, if you are a department leader, if you're one of the leaders, you know what I'm talking about, then can you just come up so we can have a few people in? We'll pray for you guys. You'll be part of it as well. Dan can explain how it's going to go. But if you are released on ministry team, fire group leader, worship leaders, band, etc., can you come up? We will pray for you. Absolutely. You're not going to miss out.